ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय।
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 So I have been asked to give a summary of the 18th chapter of the Bhagavad Gita. Srila Prabhupada, my spiritual master, entitles it Conclusion, the Perfection of Renunciation. Now, in my analysis of this 18th chapter, I have broken it out into 12 different sections. The first section is Arjuna is asking a question, as many of the chapters begin with Arjuna asking a question. And he wants to know the difference between two technical terms, sannyas and tyag. So, what is sannyas? What is the renounced order? Krishna here in chapter 18 says, sannyas means not that you stop all activities. No. You stop activities that have a material intention or material desire to be fulfilled. Earlier in Bhagavad Gita, Krishna talks about karma, akarma, vikarma. Pious action, sinful action, and transcendental action. So a sannyasi gives up pious action and most certainly impious action, but does not give up transcendental or spiritual action. That's why it's translated giving up activities that are based on material desire, because the soul can never become desireless. That's impossible. By nature, the soul has to desire. It's part and parcel of the soul. Only a dead stone is without desire. So the question is, what kind of desire should I harbor? So, in the Bhagavad Gita, transcendental or spiritual desire is always promoted, whereas material desires are to be given up at some point. If you want to achieve what we spoke about in the beginning, moksha. As long as I have material desire, samsara will continue. Now, the other word, tyag, anyone can practice tyag. Krishna says, giving up the results of activities. So that also can apply to persons who are performing karma or good materialistic activities. They can give up the results of those and offer them to God or offer them for some other purpose. Good purpose, charity, and that's coming up also in this chapter. The very next section is the section of sacrifice, charity, and penance. And Krishna says, yes, even if someone is in the renounced order, a sannyasi, he should not give up sacrifice, charity, and penance. And the key word here, Krishna says, these activities purify even the great souls. So it's not a question of, I've already achieved my situation, I'm already enough advanced. No. Even somebody very advanced spiritually, still performs sacrifice, charity, and penance. Okay, the next section. This chapter can also be divided into two divisions. In chapter 14, Krishna introduced the three modes of nature. In that chapter, Krishna went through a quick synopsis of the qualities, symptoms, and results of living in the mode of ignorance, living in the mode of passion, and living in the mode of goodness, which I mentioned already. If you live in the mode of goodness, your next life is an upgrade, better life. If you live in the mode of passion, you're going to come back to your Belinda or Diamond Bar or somewhere in the material world. And if you live in the mode of ignorance, you're going down, animal. When I was starting to become a devotee, I had a girlfriend. She was not interested. So I told her, if you don't take to Krishna consciousness, you may take your next birth as a dog. Because she was very fond of intoxication. Every day she was intoxicated. So you can tell what I was like before I became a devotee. But I was becoming a devotee. And she said to me, in all seriousness, I don't mind if I come back as a dog. I'll be happy. Later I found out, I should have told her, yeah, but you don't want to take birth as a dog in India or in Korea or China. You might wind up on somebody's plate. You're thinking you're going to take birth as a dog in Beverly Hills with a golden plate and your name on it. Not necessarily. So, in chapter 14, Krishna explains the three modes. At the end of that chapter, Arjuna asks a question. How do I transcend these modes? Because they're all material. And you so nicely introduced at the beginning of this program this whole concept of moksha. So it's going to permeate the whole program. Thank you very much. So, unless you transcend the modes, no moksha. So Krishna answered, you want moksha? Bhakti yogena sevate. You have to perform bhakti. And that bhakti has to be non-stop, 24/7, 365, 100. It has to be perpetual. Then you're on the liberated platform, Krishna says. Now, in chapter 17, Krishna speaks more about the modes of nature. And in chapter 18, I said you could also divide it into two sections. So the first half, more or less, because this chapter 18 is the largest of all the chapters, has the most verses, 78. So you could say pretty much more than half still deals with the modes of nature. So what happens? The subject, the title was the perfection of renunciation. But Krishna says, yes, there's three kinds of renunciation. Renunciation in the mode of goodness, passion, and ignorance. So someone may say, what is renunciation in the mode of ignorance? What Arjuna was trying to do in first chapter, I don't want to fight. I want to renounce the war. That's renunciation in the mode of ignorance. You don't do your prescribed duty. Renunciation in the mode of passion, you're doing it, but you have some vested interest. You have some agenda. And renunciation in the mode of goodness, you renounce only because it's what you're supposed to do. As Batuk so nicely said, everything is based on the Shastra. That's the focal point. Then he talks about there's renunciation of work and action. Again, according to the modes. There is knowledge, action, and workers. There's workers in the mode of goodness, workers in the mode of passion. And sometimes there are workers in the mode of ignorance. Anyone who's been a boss of a company knows there are workers, they work very good. There are workers, they'll not put in any extra effort. They're only going to do what they're supposed to do. That's it. No more, nothing less, even though it may be required. Nope. And then there's workers in the mode of ignorance. They do everything wrong. Then there's three kinds of understanding where, yes, you were pointing out in our little session, understanding in the mode of goodness, what you were espousing, that's understanding in the mode of goodness. There's understanding in the mode of passion. The understanding of the mode of passion is everybody I see is a different kind of living entity. Whereas in the mode of goodness, no, there's only one kind of living entity called living entity. But a person in the mode of passion sees that's one kind of living entity, that's another kind of living entity. He sees differentiation. And understanding in the mode of ignorance takes wrong to be right and right to be wrong. That was also described in chapter 16. What's the demon? The demon does not know what should be done and what should not be done. Takes religion to be irreligion and takes irreligion to be religion. Just the opposite. Then, one of my favorite parts of this chapter, there's three kinds of happiness. Happiness in the mode of ignorance, like you go to Las Vegas. There is happiness in the mode of ignorance. What are they doing there? They're not doing swaha. They're not doing puja. What are they doing? Gambling, drinking, intoxication, illicit sex, animal eating. All these activities are in the mode of ignorance. After all, they're very proudly advertised, Sin City. They proudly advertise, no shame, we are Sin City. I call it the capital of Kali Yuga. Yes. So there's happiness in the mode of ignorance, happiness in the mode of passion. Make money, eat, drink, and be merry, for tomorrow we die. Happiness in the mode of passion. Live for the high life. Work hard. Make lots of money. I have 1 million, that's not enough. I need 2. Right? I have conquered this, now I gotta do more. Conquer more. I was hearing recently, one billionaire was asked, you know, you already have so many billions. Why are you endeavoring to make more? He said, I don't need the money. I love the conquest. That's the mode of passion. I like the thrill of the conquest, of buying out a company. We recently had somebody who was running for president. He was just like that. He was just like that. He's called a vulture capitalist. Yes, vulture. You know what a vulture is. Vulture capitalist. What company can I buy, break apart, take all the goods? Thousands of people taken out. Vulture capitalist. And then there's happiness in the mode of goodness. Knowledge. Peacefulness, aspiring for the aesthetics of life, better, nicer appreciation of existence. Then, the next section, duty. Krishna says in this chapter 18, doesn't matter if you are within the material realm, these three modes affect you. Even if you are Lord Brahma, everyone is affected by these modes, either goodness, passion, and ignorance. So then, quickly Krishna says, all right, you have brahmanas, here are their symptoms. And it's very significant, Krishna says, Brahma karma, not Brahma janma. He says, this is their nature, how they work. Krishna does not say that the Brahman is determined by his birth. Otherwise, Ravana should be a Brahman because his father was a Brahman. But did Ravana act like a He was Rakshasa, even though by birth he was a Brahman. Hiranyakashipu was the same way. He's the son of Kashyapa, a great one of the seven stars, Kashyapa. But he was no saintly person by any stretch of the imagination. So it's not what you were born, Krishna says, it's how you act. That's what determines whether you're a Brahmin, Kshatriya, Vaishya, or Shudra. It's how you act. So Krishna says, here are the nine symptoms of how a Brahmin acts. Here are the symptoms of how a Kshatriya acts, how a Vaishya acts, and how a Shudra acts. There are qualities. Okay? So then, the next thing which I really love about Krishna and Bhagavad Gita. After determining, Krishna says, so here's the Brahman, Kshatriya, Vaishya, Shudra says, never mind. Anyone can achieve perfection. Doesn't matter. Even the Shudra can achieve perfection. And then Krishna gives the answer. How? You act. You do your prescribed duties. But you worship God. By worship of God, Krishna says, anyone can achieve perfection. Earlier in chapter 9, he even said, yes, manghi partha viapasritya yepi su papayonaya. Papayonaya means those who were born in sinful families. Krishna says even they can achieve perfection. They simply have to, first of all, give up sinful life. Not that you continue in sinful life, but you worship the Supreme Lord, God, Krishna, Vishnu, Narayan, the Supreme Lord. Then, the next section of chapter 18 is the process of self-realization. And the process of self-realization, there are several key verses. Brahma Bhuta Prasanatma Nasochati Nakangshati Samak Sarveshu Bhuteshu Madbhaktim Labhate Pura. I think it's number 54. Krishna Kumar has his book out. So number 54. Brahma Bhuta. You achieve your spiritual status. What is the symptom? Prasanatma. You're jolly. You're happy. Nasochati, nakangshati. When it comes to this material world, you don't hanker, you don't lament. When it comes to the material realm, samak sarveshu bhuteshu, that's you. That's what you pointed out. You see everyone equally. That's exactly what you were espousing. Seeing everyone equally. That's why I said that's the mode of goodness. And it's a symptom of somebody on the spiritual platform. Now the last line, mad bhaktim, that beautiful word, bhakti. Krishna says when you have this situation, you naturally want to render service to me. Mad bhaktim labate, and what do you achieve? Moksha. Permanent liberation. Then the very next verse, Krishna Kumar, can you tell us that very next verse, the Sanskrit for the very next verse? Bhaktyamam, is that the verse? Can you recite it for us, please? Everyone, bhaktyamam abhijanati yavan yasjasmi tatvata tato mam tatvato gyatva. Yes? Vishate tad anantaram. Anantaram means the spiritual world. All right? Tad, so if you bhaktyama baba janati yavan yashtasmi tatvata, if you can achieve this situation of bhakti, Krishna says, you can know me. You can understand me. This is one of the most important verses in this Bhagavad Gita. Both of these verses had that beautiful word, bhakti. And by achieving Krishna, you will go to Krishna's abode, which we spoke about because of your very nice question. The spiritual world, Vaikuntha. Vaikuntha means no anxiety. That's not found in Diamond Bar or anywhere. Every day we wake up, we either read the newspaper or we hear on the TV or radio, Kunta, 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 one after the other. Politicians cheating, and this bad. Okay, you all know what was happening last couple of weeks on the East Coast and the North, right? Aren't you glad you live in California? Huh? When I heard about, they said that there were cars frozen to the road. Big Mercedes, what good is it? You can't even drive it because it's frozen on the road. Whew. This is the place to be. Knock on wood. So, in these two verses, bhakti, you want to achieve God, you want to know God, you want to see God. This is at least the third time in the Bhagavad Gita where Krishna has said, know me, see me, understand me, come to me. It's been the same word, bhakti. After that, Krishna comes with his final instructions. So, Krishna's final instructions to Arjuna is that, Arjuna, your dearmost friend dwells in your heart, me, Paramatma, Super Soul. You should surrender to that Super Soul utterly, no reservations. Now, Krishna reminds Arjuna, you have a nature. And that nature you were born with. And there's no way you can escape that nature. And he says, even if you run away from this battle, you will still fight in some other way. Somehow or other. For instance, here's the way I explain it. Say Arjuna renounced and went to the forest and became a rishi. You know what would happen? He would become the leader of all the rishis and be the most powerful. Because it's his nature. He can't help it. Everybody has a nature. And earlier in chapter 3, Krishna says, you have a nature. What can repression accomplish? There's nothing wrong with your nature, provided it's what you do with that nature. Many, many years ago, 1984, 85, one Indian man, he was a follower of Satya Sai Baba. So he was friends with my wife and he met me. So one day I was at his house and he tried to trick me. Prabhuji, tell me, is money good or evil? And I thought for a second. I said, money is neither good nor evil. It's what you do with it. It's what you do with it. So you have a nature. It's what you do with that nature. Earlier I said that even the Shudra can achieve perfection. And I was thinking the example, Vidura. Vidura was considered Shudra, but who did Krishna want to eat? Did Krishna eat at Duryodhana's house? The big Kshatriya? No, thank you. I won't eat at your... He went to Shudra's house. Vidura achieved perfection, even though he's a Shudra. Now, in this section, Krishna's final instructions. Krishna said, so it's your nature, Arjuna, therefore you should fight this war because it is just, it is proper. And you're going to fight anyway, so you might as well fight for the right cause. Then Krishna said, okay, Arjuna, come close. Now I'm going to tell you the most secret of secrets. A few years ago, there was this book, The Secret. And when I was in South Africa, I had to preach at a university. And half the students were Hindu, and half the students were black Africans in this university. This was in 2008, in August. So the devotee in charge said, today's topic is the secret behind the secret. So I said, oh, that's easy. The secret behind the secret, Krishna. Because in this chapter 18, going back a little bit, Krishna says there are five factors that determine the outcome of any action. One is the kind of material body and senses one has. Another one is the kind of endeavor. Like today, there are two big football games going to be played. It will all come down to who executes their activities better than the other one, or who doesn't make a mistake. Another will be the different kinds of determination. In other words, sometimes, and I'm reading in the Mahabharata, as the war is progressing, one day the Kauravas are victorious and the Pandavas, no, we lost so many. And then the next day, Bhima destroys so many of the Kauravas and Duryodhana's going, oh. So back and forth, day after day, one day, and then when the Pandavas get down, who comes and fires them up? Krishna. I was reading very carefully that every time the Pandavas go down and they get really distraught, Krishna comes, no, don't give in to this. Come on. And even the incident where their guru was slain, Dronacharya, they were very upset. Yudhishthira was upset. Arjuna was angry that Drustadyumna had killed Drona. And what did Krishna say? No, it was good. It was the right thing. See how Krishna is? He's not swayed. But Arjuna and Bhima, he was taking side of Krishna. Bhima was saying, stop this lamentation. What are you doing? It's a war. What do you think? We came here to dance? War means kill. War doesn't mean... No. Millions and millions of people died in that battle. So Krishna tells Arjuna, now I'm going to tell you the secret of all secrets. What is that? Always think of me. Become my devotee. Worship me. Offer your homage, your obeisances to me. If you do this, you will come to me. I promise you this. I promise. Now, Krishna is not talking just to Arjuna. It's for everybody. Everybody's included. Arjuna is just the target. He is the via media. So when Krishna says, think of me, that's what we should do if we want to achieve permanent moksha. Become his devotee, worship him. And then the big verse. Sarva dharman parityajya mamekam sharanam braja ang tvang sarva papebhyo moksha yeshyami ma shuchaha. Krishna says to Arjuna, Arjuna, you should surrender to me without any other consideration. Forget about right, wrong, religion, and just surrender to me. If you do this, I will, Krishna says, I will, if there's any sinful reactions, I will take them. I will take them. And then Krishna says, Ma Shuchaha, don't worry. Don't hesitate. Don't doubt. Don't fear. Then Krishna says to Arjuna, I have told you all these things now. It started in chapter 2. When Arjuna surrendered, Shishyastehum. So from chapter 2 to now, Krishna has been explaining Bhagavad Gita. Now Krishna is saying, Arjuna, I've told you everything. Now, the decision is yours. Yate chasi tata kuru. For me, this is very, very significant. God has given us free will. God does not force us. He sets up the whole chessboard, but you make the moves. And then based on your moves, Krishna makes his moves. Life is a chess game. And what is death? Checkmate. So choose your moves carefully. So after Krishna finishes his speaking, Arjuna says, Krishna, I started with doubts. I started with fear. I was lamenting. That's all done. You have now driven away all my anxiety. And my decision, I will do as you say. Right. So then, after Arjuna says that, Sanjaya speaks. Because all this Bhagavad Gita, Sanjaya and Dhritarashtra are in the palace. Dhritarashtra is blind, far away from the battle. But what was the first verse of Bhagavad Gita? Dhritarashtra said, O Sanjaya, what are my sons and the sons of Pandu, what are they doing? So Sanjaya, his guru, is Vyas. And Vyas also appears in and out of the Mahabharata. Even on the battlefield, I read this morning, Vyasadeva appeared. Yes, very good, Batuk. Yes, Vyasadeva came and gave advice to Ashwatthama, because Ashwatthama was completely fried. His father had been killed, so Ashwatthama vowed, I will destroy all the Pandavas. I will avenge my father's death. And Ashwatthama had all these mystical weapons, but the Pandavas had one ace up their sleeve, Krishna. And there was that weapon, the Narayan weapon. And Krishna told the Pandavas, lay down your arms, lie down, don't resist. Because if you resist, the weapon becomes more powerful. And there was Bhima trying to do everything himself. I will. And Krishna pulled Bhima. Stop it. Krishna told Bhima, you're not going to negate this Narayan weapon. So they all laid down and the weapon ceased. And then Duryodhan and Ashwatthama was like, what? This weapon is supposed to be infallible. Krishna is protecting them. So he went to Duryodhan, forget it. We can't defeat the Pandavas. And what did Duryodhan say? Well, let's use the weapon again. No, stupid. Can only use it once. If you use it again, it'll destroy the person who tries to use it. All throughout the war, you see how stupid Duryodhan is. He's really dumb. Why? Because he acts out of anger. Because Duryodhan is always acting out of anger, all his decisions turn out wrong. Whereas Yudhishthira and the Pandavas, they act out of the right way to do things, not in the mode of passion. So that's when Vyasadeva comes and Ashwatthama, calm down, like that. So Sanjaya, by the mercy of Vyasadeva, is able to visualize what's happening on the battlefield, even though they're sitting in the palace far away from the scene. As my spiritual master says, by mystic television. Like today, millions of people be watching their football games on their TV. One in Denver, and one in South Carolina. Thousands of miles away, but by material television, they'll see. Sanjaya had mystic television, so he could see everything, and he was telling Dhritarashtra, now they're doing this, now this happened, now this happened, now this happened. And at some point in the battle, Dhritarashtra is like, oh my God. Because he's found out he's lost more than half of his sons, thanks to Bhima. Little by little, Bhima was killing one of his sons, little by little. Because Bhima vowed, what? I will kill all of them. All the 100 sons. So it took 18 days, but, right? A little bit. Like that. So Sanjaya tells Dhritarashtra, this Krishna is amazing. He said, this Bhagavad Gita is the more I think about what I just heard, my hairs are standing on end. And when I remember that universal form, Virata Rupa, I'm totally amazed. And Sanjaya says, this is all by the mercy of my Guru Maharaj. By his mercy. And then, what does Sanjaya end Bhagavad Gita with. Wherever there's Krishna, the master of all mystic powers, and wherever there's Arjuna, the supreme archer, there will be opulence, victory, morality, all the end we see. That's exactly what happened on the Battle of Kurukshetra. The Pandavas won. Yudhishthira was installed as the king. And the phone rings. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama.